This last session, we're talking about community and the role that plays in our marriage. And so for some of you, you kind of go, you're kind of scratching your heads going, how does that, how's this going to help my marriage? And I thought this was a marriage conference, and here we are talking about small groups. We talk about community, we're talking about small group life, whatever that looks like for you, and if you're not a member of Watermark, how's that going to help my marriage? And I tell you, we'll dive into that, but it was really interesting this year. The 5C form is something that every Watermark member takes, and we get all the data and just kind of compile it and take a look and figure out what's working and what isn't. So we asked some questions about marriage this year. And then when we took those and kind of correlated them to folks that were in groups, here's what came up. Those who were in community authentically and those who were not, this was the answers that came back. The 24% of folks were 24% more likely to prioritize their time for their marriage. They were 35% more likely to see their marriage as a spiritual endeavor, and 37% more likely to be consistently and effectively communicate, deal with conflict, and 48% more likely just to deal well with conflict. And inability to resolve conflict is the number one predictor of divorce. And so it has not surprised us that that through the years, the healthiest couples we have seen almost always are in community. And then those who are struggling, that are in the context of community, they tend to recover quicker and better. They tend to just find grace and healing, and just consistently, we know when we sit down with a couple, if they've got a group, that we've got a lot to work with. And those who don't, those who are isolated, it's just going to be a tougher road. And we always say, right out of the chute, one of the first things you should do is get in a group. And so that's what we're going to talk about for a little bit today. How do you navigate this whole marriage thing in the context of community? Okay. So we brought some friends with us here. And in years past, we started out, Watermark's kind of 8 years old, and the first few years, all we talked about was the elders. And so we had this one group that we all looked to in our church. And so after that, their first marriage conference, Scott and Michelle's group came up, and so we had two groups. And so everyone said, hey, that's great that you have two groups that are functioning in your entire church. Is there anyone else? And it turns out that actually there is. It's kind of funny. And so we brought, these guys aren't in a group, they're all in different groups. And we just wanted to kind of spend some time with them in dialogue, hear about what's going on, and hear about their marriages in the context of community. So down here on the end is Ryan and Callie Nixon. These guys have been married a year, and they are in one of our foundation groups, which is a special group that we've set up for couples in their first 3 years of marriage. We take them, kind of take 18 months, put them with a mentor couple, and let them just kind of start marriage together. Okay, and this is Allison and Marshall Treadway next to them. They were in a foundation group. You guys have been married 2.5 years, is that right? And have been they started kind of 2 weeks later after marriage. They were in a foundation group, and they kind of kicked their leader out and are on their own now, and they're in a group. Okay. This is the Levies here, and shout out. Are you guys in their group? Anybody there? Just okay, good. they've been married 10 years, and they've been in this group I think for about a year now. Is that right?
Just under two.
Okay, year-ish, and then Scott and Michelle, who we talked about before, they've been married 17 years and have been in this group for 5 or 6, something like that. Okay, good. So if we were just kind of trying to sell this idea of community, and we were talking about, hey, what's the payoff been for our marriage? I'd love just to hear from one person from each couple, just what tangibly has changed in your marriage as a result of being in the groups.
I know for Ryan and I, one of the biggest things that it would be a payoff for the community group and just feeling, especially for us in foundation group, is just the ability to come to a place where you feel normal. And I think marriage just holds up this mirror to your face where all of a sudden you're living life and you think you're living life pretty well, like Todd said, as a single person. And then all of a sudden another person is placed in your life and you're like, I'm kind of a jerk. And also, so it's nice to come to a place also where you find out things like as girls, like for me, I kind of always thought, men, when you get married, the men are animalistic and they are visually stimulated and you're just going to try and be changing clothes to go on a jog and they're just going to attack you. And it was really great for me.
You guys should have led that session today.
Yeah. It was really great for me to kind of come to a place where maybe our love and our desire for each other doesn't look exactly like that. It looks different because for a while I was afraid, man, I feel like I like sex a lot more than Ryan does. And it was fun to have a foundation group. It was fun to have a foundation group to come to where, you know, there was girls in my group that were like, just to hear the words, I feel that way too, you know, in whatever situation it might be, whether it be stuff with sex or finances or communication or anything like that. It's a place where you can come and be heard and feel normal. I think just as young married couples, that's been really important for us.
That's good. That's good. Marshall, Allison?
Yeah, so my biggest thing with being in community and the way it's helped my marriage is just, well, I've got kind of a unique problem in that I don't know when I'm wrong. Go figure. Anyways, having five or six guys and then the whole group as a whole, just a bunch of like-minded people, just surrounding ourselves with a bunch of counselors that we trust and we know are intensely interested in the success of our marriage, and the both of us individually growing more like Christ and growing together more like Christ, has just been, it's just been an incredible experience, being able to ask any question from any part of life and just getting wise counsel from all of our friends is, it's just been absolutely amazing. There really isn't an area of our marriage that it hasn't affected. It's been an incredible thing for us.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Matt and Amy?
Sure. When we, about 3 years ago, I guess, a snapshot into our marriage, we were probably at the low point of our marriage, and it was just probably a low year for us. And just to give you an example of what that looked like, we were in Cabo and conditions were perfect, so to speak. There was no business time, and we were just, you know, overlooking the ocean, and yet Amy and I were very unhappy with each other, not because of anything specifically that we had done, but we just weren't pursuing Christ. And we certainly didn't have people around us who were encouraging us to do so. And so there were several significant just lack of connection areas, whether that be physically, spiritually, mentally, and anything else?
Well, I think it's important to add that, I mean, we're at a time where we have two young kids, and so balance is really, really hard to find. And if you don't have people who are holding you accountable and saying, hey, Matt, are you asking Amy out on a regular basis? Or, Amy, are you doing things for Matt aside from the kids? We just really were just kind of running together and more partners than we were husband and wife or even friends. And I think that that happened just because that's the stage of life that we were in and still are in to some extent. But being in community with some people who are kind of running the same race we are and trying to find that balance and really make sure we're still investing in each other, I think the biggest thing that we came to, the conclusion, is that we just weren't spending enough time with Christ. We just were so consumed with my life, and he was doing his thing, and then we'd come home together, and we would do the thing with the kids, and then we'd go to bed, and that was it. And there was no focus on Christ at all with that. We thought we were doing good, but I love, and I think it's in Luke where it talks about if you're not growing in Christ, then you're moving backwards. And I think we thought we were in a state where we were kind of just standing still and kind of doing okay, but that's not realistic. If you're not moving forward, then you are moving back. And I think that whole year, Matt and I were really slowly just kind of on the downfall, and I think it was a matter of, God, where we are with Christ, and who can we talk to hold us accountable? Because I don't know that I necessarily want you to be the one who's holding me accountable right now, just with where I'm at with you. And so community has been just so precious to us to help us to understand, one, that is a life stage, two, to make sure that we are focused on Christ and we're loving God, and two, that we're loving each other.
That's great. That's great. So, Scott, Michelle, you guys have been married 10 years before you were even in this group. And so, you know, best I understand kind of, if you, we were to put you up against your peer group, you guys, your marriage was doing well.
Right. I think we would say that our marriage was, we were happy and we were successful and we were kind of checking off the things that I think I felt like were important in life. And a lot of it was accomplishments and achievement and financial gain and all that. But once we started to kind of start to walk alongside other people in life and just share who we were, a particular couple got to know us personally. And I'll never forget one time where he came up to me after I had been out of town when I was traveling quite a bit for a previous job I had, but had been with Michelle. And he asked me if everything was okay with us. And I said, well, no, why do you ask that question? He said, well, I was with her a couple of nights ago, Michelle, and she seems really tired.
Not like alone having dinner together. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He said, well, she must be fine. This is the way we've done life the first 10 years. I work hard. She stays home, takes care of the kids. That was kind of my attitude. And she's a strong Texas girl, and she knows how to make it through life. And then he said, no, you don't get it. There are things that I'm seeing on your wife's face that tell me you may not be the husband that you say you want to be. And it was for the first time that somebody loved me enough to kind of put the finger in the chest to say, I don't think you're paying attention to your wife in such a way that she would feel loved. And so it really started for me understanding for the first time that community brought a level of accountability to me as a husband, that the only thing that was going to really build into our marriage was the way that God would use that to change me. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says, you know, the way of a man seems right, right, but it eventually leads to death. And in my mind, I thought I had it figured out. And one to other people opened my eyes to see the way that I was not loving Michelle right. And I was actually causing kind of a slow death in our marriage. And so community has been the big part for us, has been the accountability factor for me to help lead and love Michelle well.
That's great. Anything to add to that, Michelle? So good? Good. Okay, so some of you guys. Now I have a rock star for a husband. All right. So we talked about just kind of, some of you guys were talking about just kind of self-disclosed stuff where you just kind of opened up to the group and said, you know, hey, here's where we are. You know, Matt, you just kind of, it's part of your story. So tell me how, so some of these guys that aren't in groups go, that sounds like a really terrifying and maybe even unwise thing to do. A, why would you do that? And B, how do you even get there?
Well, it's certainly uncomfortable, and it's not something that's easy to do. But one of the things that was huge for us was just that the couples that we're in our group with, I mean, they really do love us. They really are for us. Mm-hmm. We really feel like at the end of the day that they want the best for us. And that's really big. I mean, I was talking to the guys the other day just about some stuff with my dad, and being able to share with them and feel like they were for me regardless is just big for me. So it's a big deal.
Okay. So just creating a sense of trust and that, hey, we're for each other.
Yeah.
Would be key to that. Let's skip. Any other thoughts on that? How do you get folks to kind of open up and, you know, just kind of share what's going on? How do you even get to that place?
I think for us, for Callie and I just being married almost a year and a half now, as we were kind of just going through this last year and a half, noticing that for me, because of some of the things that I brought into this marriage, just baggage that I brought into this marriage because of decisions that I had made, we realized that there was conflict that was coming up between Callie and I. And as we were deciding to work through this together and talk through this and in Callie encouraging me, you know, to have these hard conversations, to talk through the things that are difficult to talk about, in the midst of that and sharing that with each other and starting to walk through that with one another, we have been with these group of other couples for about a year. And to be honest, at first, it wasn't something that you'd want to come and share because you don't know these people at all. But as you begin to invest into these relationships and say, okay, I'm going to commit to you, just like in a marriage where you're going to commit to a marriage and you have to, you know, give fully of yourself, not expecting, you know, like a 50-50 return. The same with our community group, our foundation group. And so as we're struggling through this and having just some hard times for us, just they were very fresh and hard to even, for me, it was hard because in the midst of my pride, you know, thinking that my life shouldn't, I should have everything together. And wanting to portray a picture to my wife and also other people that, you know, my life needs to be this way. And I shouldn't be, you know, dealing with these different things. But being able to come through to a group of four couples that I know over the course of time of building trust that care about us and love us, being able to share with them really the depths of our heart and pain that is going on inside our relationship to where there has been trust that has been broken. And there's been healing that is in the process and things that we're still dealing with right now that we're able to come before them, we're able to weep before them, we're able to cry before them and share with them what is going on in our lives and for them to come around inside us and just continue to show us that they care about us and that they love us and that they're praying for us and that they desire to walk through this with us. And we know that we're still in the beginning stages of what does it look like to truly walk with other couples and deal with situations, no matter what the situation may be. And it's been great to see, in a sense, like we talked about earlier, a domino effect that as
one couple, as different couples begin to share a little bit more, we get to hear other people being able to say, okay, this is a safe place to come with our hurt and with our pain, and these are issues that are bothering us. And we've seen in our group over the course of time, as we become just more real with each other, they were able to come before one another saying, hey, this is what's really bothering me in my life right now. These are areas that we're struggling in and that we want y'all's help. And knowing that as you have couples who love Christ, that they're going to come alongside you and say, you know, we want to be here for you. And that's just been one of the hugest blessings for us, is having a group of people as that we can expose to light darkness that's in our lives, and that we can come alongside them. And as there's darkness that they're wanting to expose, you know, come alongside one another, love each other well.
That's good. Thanks, man. Yeah, so I think, you know, in almost universally in groups, it takes one couple going first, you know. And in our group, we got together, and there's this one couple, and one couple who cares more about being well and right with Jesus than they do about what other people think about him. You know, that's what it takes to start the dominoes to fall. You know, and in our group, we had this one couple that kind of raised their hand and they said, hey, you know what? The guy said, I need to do a better job at home. And I'm working like crazy and I'm not investing at home. Will you guys help me? And we looked around each other and like, yeah, cool, man. Well, you know, we'll be here for you. We were kind of high-fiving each other because we had all our stuff together, you know. But we'll be here with you guys. That, maybe that's why we're together, you know, just to kind of help you guys out. And you know how that went, right? You know, and it was just funny to watch boom, 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 boom. And everyone just goes, you know, if I'm being honest, there's just parts of me that are broken. And I need Jesus to show up. And would you guys just kind of walk with us? But it took them going first, you know? I mean, it wasn't me. I wish I could tell you that with authenticity it was me. And I just led the charge in our group. And it was someone else. And God used that. And so you may be in a group where everyone's just, you know, it's high-fiving each other. Everything's together. And I just challenge you to think about, you know, do I care more about what these people think or about what God thinks? And just to think about kind of going and taking the next step, and just letting some folks in, so that you can be well. Okay, well, tell me some more. Just kind of talk about that a little bit more. Just the whole authenticity thing about dealing with sin. I think sometimes this is more caught than taught, you know. And so just hearing stories or hearing kind of anecdotes sometimes is really helpful to folks. Do you guys have any thoughts or stories on just this whole accountability, authenticity piece?
For me, I have a natural tendency to move into positions of leadership kind of quickly in different roles in my life. And how that's played out in my marriage is a practical example was when we were planning our wedding. As you can imagine, I initiated a conversation of to-do list conversation. And we're sitting down at the table, and he has his and I have mine, and I'm checking things off and dating when things should be accomplished. And I turn to Marshall and his to-do list, and I say, so when are you going to make that happen for me? And he turned to me with all love and said, sweetheart, I'm not one of your interns. And so as you can imagine in our marriage, how that's worked is I have struggled with shifting from my day job to coming home and recognize that Marshall is the one that's going to make the head decision. He is my leader, and giving him the power to be that versus hindering him by bucking the system and wanting to give my input on everything and sharing. Although, yes, he wants my input, but I was a little too aggressive with it and felt my way was the right way. The girls in my community have been amazing to lovingly share with me, hey, Allison, I think you need to respect Marshall more, and helping me to shift from just that mentality of being the leader and being the decision maker and the go-to person at work to being different at home and helping to support my husband and being his helpmate and love him, using my gifts, but in a way that allowed him to really flourish as our leader and the head of our household.
That's good. That's really good. Anybody else? Just thoughts on that?
Sure. I'll tell you what kind of one of the things that was going on in my life whenever we were hitting that low point was, you know, I was being really critical of Amy, and there were many times when I would find things about her that maybe I didn't like, or I certainly wasn't being encouraging to her. And when I'm walking rightly with God, I feel like God gives me an ability to encourage others specifically. However, the opposite is true as well. When I'm not, I tend to be pretty critical. So one specific time, this was probably a year ago or so, last Christmas. Yeah, that's that memory thing
you're talking about. There you go, man.
Anyway, we were she was putting up Christmas lights, and I had this idea that it should be done professionally, or at least look professionally, and done. And Amy was just out there having fun. You know, she was just enjoying Christmas and enjoying the gift of that. And with our kids were out there, and I could not have been any more of a joy robber at that time. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I know that there were... I know there were a lot of conversations.
You better keep that mic, buddy. Yeah.
So anyway, the way we've kind of come through that is the guys, you know, there's a conversation around that in our community group. They asked me how the conflict was dealt with and the process to do that. And so we talked about that. And, you know, another one of the guys in my community group gave me some stuff on critical spirit. And so I was reading through that. And, you know, it's been a process. Right? It hadn't been an overnight fix, but I feel like the more deeply I'm involved with my relationship with Christ and more the guys kind of push me towards that relationship, the better we are. And I was asking Amy outside before we came in here, I said, how am I doing there? And she said she feels like we've taken some ground there. So I hope that continues. And there are other areas too, but it's in progress.
That's great. That's great, man. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else have just any thoughts on the whole authenticity, accountability piece?
Yeah, sure. Kind of going over the being wrong thing again. There's been nothing more important to me in the community group than being able to just be open with any question on any topic. It doesn't matter what sort of dumb curiosity I have, or, you know, whether it's theological issues, or, you know, how to read this particular verse in the Bible or something. You know, I tend towards legalism. I tend towards applying much too much logic to our relationship when, you know, sometimes I should be a little more emotional or feely or whatever. And
feely or whatever. Okay, good.
And so, you know, I just, there have been times when, you know, I've had to come, you know, I come to a group with a curiosity or some situation that we're going through, and I've not felt like I was wrong, but we've literally taken a vote. You know, we got five of the guys. Okay, how about you? You're wrong. How about you? You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a great thing for us just to be open and completely authentic with any issue, and having these guys that aren't gonna, you know, whatever. They're gonna tell me if I'm wrong and just be completely truthful with me.
Just kind of the gift of perspective, you know, from others that are for you, as Matt said, you know, as we talk about a lot about that marriage is a full length mirror that shows us kind of really who we are. I think community works in many of the same ways, so that we get a chance to see who we really are. And we're all just self deluded. We think we are more Christ like and just, you know, much more of a joy to be around than is really the case, you know. And so to have some folks that will tell us the truth is a real blessing. You know, and sometimes it doesn't feel that way. We'll talk about that a little bit, but that is part of the gift of community. And as you know, as Marshall's just saying, sometimes this whole feely thing I don't get. You know, and I just want to lock down on my position. But others have been able to step in and say, you know what, I'm going to have to go with her on this one. You don't get it, dude. You know, you're a caveman, and you don't understand emotions the way you should. So let us help you, and that can be just the payoff of community. Canons, I know you guys have made just a lot of life kind of decisions and changes and choices the last few years. And you know, one of the high values we have here is just letting other folks just kind of speak into our lives when we are just kind of inflection points in our lives and just along the way. So I know, and you guys have processed that with your group. Can you kind of talk us through what that's looked like?
Before we had other people in our lives, we kind of lived with a limited perspective. It was just the two of us and the way we viewed things and what we thought was right. And so a practical example of people being in our life now is that we've moved a lot. And we've moved, I think, 11 times. And 10 of those times, we bought a house on our own wisdom. And we listen to people maybe in the mortgage industry or that just made the numbers look like they were going to work out when they really weren't going to work out for us. We were told we could afford more than we really could because the people giving us the advice did not know us. And so now that we have people in our life, the last time we made a move, we did it the right way. People who are stronger in the financial area than we are could say, that is not going to work at all, and this is what you need to do. We could lay out our budget in front of them, which was very humbling and uncomfortable, but it was so healthy on the other end. We can now live with peace and contentment and freedom because we had people who knew us and loved us and knew about finances help us make a really good decision.
That's good.
And that was a real hard piece of work for Michelle and I to get to a point where we could just open up our checkbook and let other people see. We had been raised in homes that, you know, that was private. I never knew what my dad made. I never knew what our things cost in our home. And so when other people modeled that for us in our community group, and then at some point it was just the right thing that we had to do is to let other people into our world, it was really hard. It was painful to have to open that up. And there's a lot of warts and ugly things that we were not pleased with. But what we saw out of that is we were getting the true facts kind of on the table. And they weren't, most of them weren't just horrendous, but we need to be dealing in facts. And I think sometimes when you make decisions, you make them out of emotion, you make them out of desire, you make them out of urgency. And I think a community around you can give you the wisdom to slow down and really view the facts accurately.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that our decision to do something or not do something that the community told us what to do, they were advice and counsel. We still, I think, before God, have a responsibility to do what we feel like we have to do. But doing it where people have given you warning or encouragement is a huge difference maker, which we had never had before in our marriages. People can say, yeah, that's a perfect decision for you guys, run after it, or wait a minute, think about this before you go there. But as a community, we want to make this clear, these decisions aren't made in a community, they're made with the advice of community, and Michelle and I have made those decisions better because of that input from folks.
That's good. So just to be clear, these guys have been together 6 years, right? So if you go to the next group link, your first assignment, you know, that when you show up for the barbecue isn't to bring your financial statement, you know, and say, hey, what do you guys think? You know, so that takes time. Yeah, if you get there. But there's just a million stories in our body about folks who have said, you know what, I care more about making wise decisions and stewarding my money well than just kind of keeping this stuff close to the vest, you know. And so there's some really good wisdom on how you handle that and how you move through that other folks can give you along the way. But these guys are just telling you that the more they've allowed and opened themselves up to other folks to speak into their decisions, they're just making better decisions. And I can testify to that. You know, I've done the Enron accounting thing and just going, well, we could, you know, and people are scratching their heads and going, dude, the numbers don't add up. You know, we've got to rework this deal. And that's been a blessing. It hadn't been real fun, but that's been a real blessing in my life. So, Scott, I thought you had a great thought today about, okay, how do we take a baby step in that direction before I start processing, you know, houses and major job transitions. I just thought you had a really good piece of wisdom today over lunch.
Remind me what that wisdom was.
Baby steps, taking a quick easy win.
Oh yeah. The idea was the example we use maybe was could have been at the time a big decision to buy a house, but it can start in simple ways. What we mean by that is if you're making a decision, it doesn't have to be financial, but let's say that it involves finances and maybe that's part of it. Just the simple step of what would I do to buy my next refrigerator, all right? It's okay to let other people tell you kind of here's what I think, you know, and listen to what they're saying to you. It's something as small as that, so you get and learn some appreciation for the value of other individuals' input. It should be important in big decisions, job or house or whether to adopt or not possibly. But it doesn't have to be those big decisions. It can be small decisions. And that doesn't mean you gather everybody for a four-hour meeting and talk about what kind of refrigerator you think you need. It could be, hey, as a couple, we have $5,000 in savings. We've got some choices. We'd like to buy a refrigerator. Here's what we're thinking about, how much we should spend. What do you think? It can be done in an email fashion and see what people say. And that allows, I think, everybody to get a sense of, in our community group, how do we help one another make good decisions for them? And I think that's the one thing that we have learned in communities, that these people are for us. They're in our best interest. You know, we don't work for them. You know, they're not family. They don't have any agenda typically. They want to have what's best for us, so we can listen to them with that freedom to know that what advice they're giving us is instructive and directive for us to really be good in our decision-making process.
That's really good. That's great. Hey, let's talk just for a few minutes as we're kind of winding down. Just some things that are just going well in your group. You just feel like, hey, these are just some best practices, some things that we've learned or that are going on, again, that we just want to share. So what's going well? What lessons have you learned? If you're going to, you know, write a book or two about community, what would some of the things that you'd say?
I think for us, we've had a couple of practices that we've kind of looked around and been like, this is a really good thing. Even though it's young, it's a good thing. I just think one of our strengths is, I feel like everybody in our group is a really good listener. You know, I feel like no matter what you're sharing, no matter if you deem it important or insignificant, you know, everyone in our group has got eye contact the whole time and is shaking their head and understanding and listening to where male or female, whoever's talking, you feel like you're important and like what you're sharing is important. And I think also just everybody has made the commitment to commit. You know, I think for Ryan and I, whatever that looks like for you all, for Ryan and I being in youth ministry, a lot of our nights are really busy, and a lot of them, our schedule gets really crowded pretty easily. And just that everyone has carved out that time, you know, our attendance, everybody's there and everybody wants to be there. So for whatever time you set out to meet, that everybody makes it a priority to get there, and that the women see it important to meet with the women, and the men get to meet with the men to kind of mix those perspectives. I think that's some things that our group's done well that's worked for us.
That's great. So I think there was three things in there. One is that you feel like you guys listen well. And two is that you feel like you guys are committed to each other. And it does, you can look at groups and the health of the groups and almost always, you know, just figure out how committed folks are to, you know, to their group and to group life and to this idea of community, and then you could tell just by looking at the state of the group, what's going on there. And so, again, just in terms of a predictor of a healthy group, we have noticed that when guys are pulling off sometimes, and girls are pulling off and just asking, you know, asking the hard questions of each other, that those groups are healthier by and large. And also their marriages are experiencing some of the payoff of, you know, just getting together and just asking the hard questions and also being for each other, as Matt said, just rejoicing when things are going well and when we're seeing growth and being each other's cheerleader. So yeah, just some other thoughts, best practice thoughts.
One of the things for us that really worked is when our group got together, nobody knew each other. We knew one other couple because Marshall was college roommates with a guy, but pretty much nobody knew each other. And all of us would say when we walked away, oh my goodness, I have nothing in common with these people. There was no commonality. But the key point was we all desperately wanted a group of people that we can hang out with and that we can get to know better, hang out with, and develop relationships that thing can then help us in our marriage to pursue each other better. And in that, we committed to make time to just hang out. No agenda, no book to be read, no study to have done, but we truly just hung out. We'd have cookouts, we'd have barbecues, we'd go to the park, we'd go camping, we'd do whatever we could just to get to know each other. So then, when it comes time to share some of the bigger issues in your marriages, it's a little bit more comfortable because you feel like these people are committed and they're dedicated and they have a vested interest in your marriage.
Yeah. So just the value of fun and spending time together outside of that. Amy?
Another great thing that our group does is we do the girls and the guys separately, but so that we have a voice among the men and the men have a voice among us, we've asked each of the spouses, like for instance, I would submit three things that I want the guys to hold Matt accountable to for me. And so that has been really good for us because the guys, it's kind of like I'm in the group and they're kind of fighting for me too. Obviously they're for Matt, he's their brother in Christ, but they're also for me. And so it's been very valued. And then they do the same thing where Matt has, well, I need the girls to hold you accountable to these things so that, you know, I know that you're loving the Lord well, I know that you're loving me well. And that's just been a real blessing just to feel like, you know, the guys are, you know, they're for me too, and you know, in general, they're just for us as a couple. So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. So you know, Todd just said the number one thing he feels like he has done for his marriage, or the thing that's had the biggest payoff is just giving Alex the permission to call some guys. You know, when she's not getting traction on something that he knows is hurting him and hurting others, she has a freedom to speed dial these guys. And so what Matt's saying is that I'm opening myself up to to the loving reminder of other men. And as you were sharing your story earlier, Matt, you just talked about the number one thing that is the biggest lever I've pulled in my marriage, the thing that has caused the most growth has been this whole community thing. And it is having other guys walk with me and keep me accountable. And we just see that consistently across our church. So you guys have anything else, Scott and Michelle?
We have been together with the same people for a while, and so we have gone through some a lot of things. And recently, in the past 2 years maybe, we have made it a goal to really be very careful and sure that when we're together and when we are speaking to one another, we are sure that our input is scripturally based. We feel like that we have committed to that as a group, that we know Scripture and that we guide each other with Scripture.
That's great. That's great. Hey, Kelly, you said one thing just about your folks. You mind sharing that?
No, not at all. I think one of the things I told John when we were talking about this is I just was like, we have absolutely nothing to offer. We've done this for a year, and we may not know or have learned a ton yet, but I think the beautiful thing for me is that I know what I'm looking for. And I just got to watch my parents walk through a time, where they literally came home and kind of said the same thing of, I mean, these people we don't really get along with. We don't really have anything in common with them, kind of questioning, but they've stuck with it. And because they've done it for so long, I just look and I watch, and I've watched my parents transform and my mom communicate with my dad in a totally different way. And my dad loved my mom in a totally different way. And my dad has opened his heart and his mind to that input that we're talking about, to, be open to approach me about how I do my marriage and my work. And everything about them has changed. So how neat would it be for my children to someday look at me and that's all they ever know? They know a man and a woman that do life in the context of community and welcoming the biblical wisdom of other people. And so I think that's neat, because whether or not we're there yet, we know we're going for 10. We know that what we're going for is something that's so worth it and so valuable.
Yeah, that's so cool. What a great gift to give your kids, and really everything that we talked about this weekend. Last night, Todd just talking about just kind of dealing with some of the threats today. This morning, talking about just roles. We talked today about sexuality and talking about community. How great would it be to pass that on to your kids? Your kids, all they would know is, mom and dad, they fulfill their godly roles, and they have got a killer marriage. They're working on it like crazy. And I know I'm going for a 10 because I see a 10. And they're living out in the light openly with other folks, and I know what that looks like. And I know the payoff of that, and I want to chase that down. That'd be just a really great gift to give your kids. And then also just to give your friends as they look at you and marvel at your life and your God. That's a great gift to give them as well. But I want to share two verses with you. So this semester, our married team, we read a book called How People Grow by Cloud and Townsend. It's just really great. Anytime you read a book that just puts better words to what you already believe, in print, and you just look at that and you go, I couldn't have said that any better. So the first verse I just want to throw at you is Ephesians 4:16. And it says, "For him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work." Okay, so Christ is the head, and what he does is he uses the body to bring about the work and to build us up. Okay, and so oftentimes I think that we think about spiritual growth as kind of like being zapped. I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to go to a seminar, or I'm going to have this one verse, and God's just going to like do this really cool, miraculous thing, and I will be healed. Okay, sometimes that happens. But by and large, God uses people. And so what Henry Cloud said, it was just a genius line. He said, "God, our people are God's plan A." People are God's plan A. And so we're not selling out. We're not selling for some second best option in spiritual growth. We are really taking advantage of the primary means that God has for us, God's word and God's people. Throughout the ages, throughout Christianity, that is how people have grown. And so when we come into group life, when we come to community, and we say, we want to do this thing together, what do you guys think? Could you help us? That's the primary means of grace. Okay? And now, practically, how do we do that? Man, it's going to take us a while to figure that out. We're 8 years old as a church, you know, and some of us, man, we have just made a ton of mistakes. And we're learning. Just like, it's really analogous to a marriage relationship, that there's some things that are great and some things we're learning how to do and some things we're getting better at. And we're learning along the way what it looks like to dwell and live with others. And so the second verse that I want to give you is 1 Thessalonians 5:14 in the New American Standard. And it says, we urge you, brothers, to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. So there's just several, could be different people. They could also be the same person. And there's just different components to walking alongside of someone who needs to grow, okay? So in our group, we have people that need to be admonished. We have people that need to be loved, and we have people that need to be patient with. And reality is, probably all three of those things need to play out for all of us in our group. And so what Cloud and Townsend did in another one of their books, they just gave us a formula for change that I thought was genius. It had to be based on this verse. And he just said, it's grace plus truth plus time equals change. Okay, coming out of 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And so what I've noticed is I've kind of walked in our group and I've walked in others, that groups tend to major in one of those, but they're out of balance. Okay, and so one of the couples was talking about their group here. They said, we feel like our group is for us. Man, they're putting their arms around us, telling us, hey, we're going to be here for you, we're praying for you, but they don't call us to anything. You know, and one of the couples said, you know, it can be rough to be in our group, you know, and I've seen that group, you know, where you are not their group specifically, but I've walked into a room and I just go, man, you guys are just beating the dirt out of each other, you know, and calling that spiritual growth and love. And it's not. You guys are just killing each other. And so before you can, I think, speak into someone's life, as Matt said earlier, there's got to be a sense that I am for you. And you know what? Even if you don't change, that I love you. Or even it takes a little bit longer, I love you and I'm for you. And you know what? Even God is for you. So there's the grace of God and grace of others. There's the truth of God's word, the truth of others. And we talked about just kind of the full-length mirror of others. And then there is the patience part. And we're just going to stick with you as long as this takes. And so oftentimes in groups that I've seen, people come in and they go, you know what? You're not considerate. Or you've got a critical spirit. And they'll say it once and expect a full change and a complete makeover, and they're just crazy frustrated with the person who didn't change on a dime. Okay, and that's just not been the case, at least in my group. But what we have seen as we've been together, and these guys have been together long enough, is they've seen the payoff of just consistently speaking the truth, being gracious, and then just sticking around to watch God do His thing. And it's been really cool. We've seen people who have struggled with lust in our group get freedom, and then we had a killer story this week in our group of a guy that's been just battling that thing, and we just rejoiced with him. You know, we've been telling him truths, we've been encouraging him, but we just, because we've been patient and walked with him, we were able just to high-five him and celebrate and just feel like we get to just, you know, capture and celebrate the prayers and the hard work of that. We've seen, you know, people who've made poor financial decisions begin to kind of live out in the light. Guys who have worked way too hard begin to prioritize at home. People that, you know, had critical spirits, kind of tone that down. Their selfishness become more other-centered. But it just didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen, they didn't get zapped. It happened God's word and God's people over time. And so I just want to give that to you as a matrix or as a grid to think about this whole group life thing. And just make sure that you're doing all of those well, okay? And don't just, it's not loving just to put your arm around someone and be for them. And it sure is not loving just to whack them and tell them that they're stupid, you know, and they need to honor God. And as you do both of those things, you need to give them time, okay? So Matt and Amy, you guys did... you guys kind of went away on a retreat, and we put that in your notebook just as a takeaway that you might want to do with your group. Can you guys just kind of share what that was like and just walk us through the mechanics and the payoff for you?
Sure. It's on page 47 if you're looking for it. Really, for us, what it was is an opportunity to build trust more quickly, really, at the end of the day. I mean, that's really what it enabled. And if you look at the objectives on page 47, have fun, develop deeper relationships, understand each other's strengths and weaknesses, and learn how to pray for and care for each other. And that's really what we did. So we had a great time, and we went away for a weekend and had lunch together before we headed out of town, went to somebody's lake house. It wasn't one of ours. Somebody we borrowed. So, but it was a great time, and we had fun. We had a lot of it. We played co-ed flag football, which was probably the highlight for some of us. But anyway, we shared a lot together. I felt like we prayed for each other. I felt like we really understood each other a lot better than we did going into that weekend. And for me, as I mentioned earlier, being able to trust somebody is huge for me. And I don't know where that comes from. I'm sure there's all kinds of baggage where that comes from. But anyway, it's just a big deal to me. And so knowing those guys and getting to know them more quickly, sooner, was big, because I felt like be able to communicate more and more and more. And it just so happened that one of the couples in our group was been a couple for that we'd known for a long time, so it enabled me, I felt like, to kind of share some stuff with them that they had been blessing us with for a while, and that also opened up some additional conversation around some other areas. And I felt like everybody was very vulnerable and authentic in that treat, which was a big deal too. Amy, am I missing some major areas?
Just to tag on to him, it was a great time. It was very structured. We made sure that we planned before we went, so that our time there was very, it was a good use of time because we were without kids. And we did eat, we broke it up. But the sweetest thing that I think that we got from that, and I think that others would say that, is that there was such a time of encouragement afterwards. When each couple got up there and shared their weaknesses and their strengths, we had a time to ask them questions and really dig deeper into what that was. And then there was a time we went around and just said, hey, you know what? I've seen you in the last 6 months, and I just want you to know that you've really gained some ground in that area. And I just love watching you love your wife, or you've been a really good example for me with your kids. And it was just so sweet, because it was really a joyful time to say, I get you, I know your junk, it's okay. And hey, you know what, I love you for it, because, I mean, you're making me stronger that way too. And so I think encouragement was a big thing with it too, because when somebody discloses something, that's hard to do, and you know that. And so to come back behind them and go, hey, you know what, thank you, and just be really sincere with that was really huge for all of us.
So. That's great. So that's in your notebook there. And so if you're looking for an assignment kind of coming out of this, I'd really challenge you to get, if you're in a group, just a set of goals. Say, hey, let's go away, in the next 6 to 8 months, and let's do something. Take this outline. If you don't have one, if you got a better idea, do that. But let's lay this marriage thing out on the table, and let's figure out if we can spur each other on a little bit. Let's see if we can take some ground in our marriages. And we'd love to invite all of you in there. Okay. So some of you guys that are in groups, there needs to be some discussions about, hey, how are we doing in our group? Are we really speaking the truth? Are we for each other? Are we sticking around long enough? Some of you guys that are just doing great, I pray that you wouldn't have a false sense of security, and you would still ask the question, what can we do better? Those of you guys that aren't in a group, I challenge you just to take the next step. If you're a newlywed, we've got foundation groups. If you've been married any more than 3 years, we've got married community groups for you. And our group link is coming up soon, so you can sign up online and you can begin to take the next step. Okay? I don't want to do a bait and switch on you and tell you that your life will be great. You're going to lose 10 pounds and grow really thick hair by being in a group. That's not been my experience. But my life is better. And my marriage is better. I'm a better dad because of the role of community in my life. And it has been difficult. It's one of the things that hadn't come out here. Okay, it's hard. And sometimes that message doesn't get relayed from the front, and people call us 6 months later and they're like, hey, we want our money back on this community thing. I mean, this is tough. And that's part of, I think that's part of the grand design, as well as you've got to work through conflict, just like your marriage thing here. Okay. So, but wherever you are in this community spectrum, I challenge you to take the next step. And it really is. I used to be in the marriage ministry. I thought communication is the thing that we have got to hammer. And if I could pull that lever, our whole body would have fantastic marriages. And I've come to see, if I've just got one lever, one bullet to fire, I would say get in a group and figure it out. And so I'd ask you all to take that step. And if that freaks you out or you don't know and you've got questions, give us a shout. Okay? Which goes with anything this weekend that you have any questions about or that you want some help. One of the things I love about this church is that no matter where you are, there's a place for you, and we're not ashamed. We have seen in some of these groups that I know well, stories where one of the couples said, "Our house wasn't on fire. Our house was absolutely burning down. And no one would have given us a chance of making it. And now they're one of our core leaders in our marriage ministry." And that all came out in a group, and their group walked alongside of them. I don't think they would have made it living on an island all by themselves. And so I want to challenge you, no matter where you are, that you can be open and honest and real about where you are. And just think about these next 20 years. The view ahead was our theme. You know, what's our marriage, the trajectory we're on right now? Where are we going to end up 5, 10, 20 years from now? And if there's some changes that need to be made, make those. And if we can help you in any way, please let us know.